Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
That was a very uplifting clip, wasn't it? But I wonder if sometimes we're listening to God like that. All we're hearing is either nothing or wah, 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 wah. We don't know. We think, God, I'm not hearing you. This morning we're going to talk about listening. Last week we talked about God still speaks. This morning about listening. Maybe some of us have tuned God out. I did that just recently. I know, you can't imagine that I would do that. But okay, so we were supposed to meet with some friends yesterday for coffee. Friends from high level when we were serving them in their transition time. Lynette had told me the details. She said, we're going to be going. And I thought she said, to Tim Hortons by the mall. This was my head, okay? So a little later we talked about it again, and she said something about at the mall. And I'm thinking, yeah, by the mall. Okay, the one by Superstore, that must be the right one. Then a little later, she's made another comment, and again, she said something about the mall, and I thought, okay. And so, Saturday morning, we're supposed to be meeting them at 10 o'clock. We're driving, and I'm driving past the mall. And she goes, at the mall, at the mall. And finally, I clued in. The whole time, she's telling me we're meeting at the mall, and I'm thinking something completely different. Obviously, I had tuned out anything she was saying, and I had my idea very clear. I knew where I was going. That's not where we're supposed to be. So, again, I wonder if we listen to God like that sometimes. He has some place he wants us to be, and we have our own idea. Or he's telling us something, and we are assuming we're hearing correctly, and we don't check in with him to make sure we're right. Listening to God. How many times is God frustrated with you and with me because we're just not listening? We want to go to a few scriptures that we looked at last week, actually. So I know there's more scriptures in the Bible. We're going to go to some of the same stories. So we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Actually, a little bit earlier than we started in the story last week. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to go to some of the same scriptures, but focus on the listening part, okay? We said God still speaks, but we have a role in this. If he speaks and we're not listening, we're not having communication already. So listening. So starting in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, we'll start at verse 22. And it says, now Eli was very old. Okay, Eli is the priest who should be in relationship with God, right? He's working and serving on behalf of God to the people and back to God on behalf, back and forth, right? Now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli said to them, I've been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you're doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. So he's addressing their sin. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. If someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede? But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew taller and grew in favor with the Lord and with the people. One day, God came to Eli and gave him this message from the Lord. I revealed myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly vest as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I promised that your branch of the tribe of Levi would always be my priests, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. The time is coming when I will put an end to your family, so it will no longer serve as my priests. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will reach old age. You will watch with envy as I pour out prosperity on the people of Israel, but no members of your family will ever live out their days. Those who survive will live in sadness and grief, and their children will die a violent death. And to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family, and they will be priests to my anointed kings forever. Then all of your surviving family will bow before him, begging for money and food. Please, they will say, give us jobs among the priests so we will have enough to eat. Eli is aware that his sons are doing evil things. He does speak up, but he doesn't do much about it. God sends a prophet, this man of God, and very clearly gives this message of, you need to do something about your sons, and since you're not, there's some judgment coming from God. Now, we don't hear of Eli falling on his face before God, begging for mercy. We don't hear of him begging for his sons, begging before God, crying out for mercy, for somehow forgiveness, for somehow for God to intervene. He's not listening to God. He's hearing the message, but he's not listening to God. You might want to put a bookmark there. We're going to come right back to that. I want to talk about James 1 for just a bit. James chapter 1. So into the New Testament, past the book of Hebrews, we get to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25. Just in case you're wondering, this only applies to the Old Testament. This is James, right? This is what he says about listening. James 1, 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now, he's specifically addressing the fact that you have very clear directions in the law, people. You need to follow through. But here we have very clear directions to Eli, and back in 1 Samuel chapter 3, very clear directions to Eli. And while he's hearing the message, it doesn't seem that he is responding to actually do much about it. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just listen to what God is saying. You must do what he says. But he is no longer listening to God. Let's keep reading in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 3. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare, and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. We have a few things that we're told here that I think mean more than what it says. We'll get to that in just a bit. First of all, messages from the Lord were very rare. Visions were quite uncommon. Why would that be important for us to know that? Maybe so we recognize that people are no longer hearing from God, that the people as a whole, maybe God's not even speaking to them anymore. Now, the question, and you can feel free to answer, how was Eli described? As what? Or almost blind, right? Almost blind, blind, okay, blind. Why would we need to know that? Go ahead. Why do you think we need to know that? Just interesting material in the story? Okay. I'm wondering if we're hearing a little bit of God's understanding of the picture, that this isn't just about he's almost blind, but he's spiritually going blind. Then it says the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Again, any idea why would that be important? Sorry? Okay, there's a spiritual glimmer. But it talks about it going out. Let's go to Exodus 27. I think the next slide has that for us. Let's just read that. It says, command the people of Israel. Okay, this is back in Exodus. They're receiving the law from God. Command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to keep the lamps burning continually. The lampstand will stand in the tabernacle in front of the inner curtain that shields the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his sons must keep the lamps burning in the Lord's presence all night. This is a permanent law for the people of Israel, and it must be observed from generation to generation. So what does that tell us about the lamps in the tabernacle? They should always be burning. But it sounds like they're used to them going out. Right? They're used to them going out. Because it says the lamp had not yet gone out, but it makes it sound like it's about to. Again, I think this is a spiritual message in this, that they're not listening anymore. They're not really hearing from God as a people, and especially now even as a priest, as a whole, there's not a sense of God's presence really matters that much to them. And so what if the light goes out? But it tells you that the spiritual light is going out, right? They're not listening to God. This lamp that was never to go out is to be this representative of God, this picture of God, of His presence, that He is there. So they're going spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and they're not hearing God. I wonder how God would describe our vision, our eyesight, our ears this morning. Are we in danger of going blind spiritually or deaf? Let's keep going in verse 4. Suddenly the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? He got up and ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again, and if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. So whom does God call? Not Eli, right? He's calling Samuel. Even takes Eli a while to realize that it's God who's trying to reach out to Samuel. And God gives him quite a message. I think there's some value too in going back to verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. I'm wondering if some of us are at times thinking, I'm not sure if I really had a message from the Lord before. Maybe some of us are wondering, how does that, really? You hear from God? Maybe this is the morning where you say, God, I just want to hear. I want to hear. When I read scripture, I want to hear your voice. When I'm praying, I want to hear your voice. When I'm having a conversation with a friend and they're sharing and I feel like there's something, I want to hear if you're speaking through others. I want to hear your voice, right? I want to hear. It's not a very nice message that Samuel receives, is it? About Eli. Let's keep going. Verse 15. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the doors of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him, but Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. Wow, serious. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. So Eli had quit listening, no longer responding to what God says. It's so bad that God gives him a message through a man of God, a prophet, then through a boy, same message, and he's still not listening, or at least not responding to what God is saying. It's a sad thing when the person who is to be the spiritual leader is no longer connecting with God. But God has not forgotten his people. He does what he often does. If he wants someone to come and do something, and that person says no, he'll find somebody else, won't he? If he wants something done, if he wants a message brought, he will do it. And it may be that some of us even at times have said no, and he said, well, then I'll go with someone else. Because he's going to speak when he wants to speak. He's going to make sure that what he wants done gets done. So where are you at in this story? Have you quit listening to the Lord like Eli, or are you listening like Samuel? Maybe for some of you it's new. Maybe for some of you, you've had this experience for a long time. Maybe for some of you, you're in the second part of that story, or the last part where it says that God appeared to Samuel regularly, giving him messages regularly. Maybe that's you this morning. You know you have a regular conversations with God through his Spirit. Let's turn to John 14. John 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking with his disciples not long before he will be crucified and rise again and return to heaven. John 14, verse 16 and 17. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him, it doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Verse 26. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So he talks about an advocate coming, about a helper, someone who will come, the Holy Spirit. And he's very clear. Even repeats, I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit. And what will he do? What will the Holy Spirit do? He will remind us of all truth. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So Jesus is looking ahead to when this will happen. We are looking back into Scripture and saying, we know that's when this happened. We can go to Acts chapter 1 and 2 and celebrate when the Holy Spirit arrived in power. And we know that he is present in us too, if we've come to faith in Jesus. John 16, verse 5. But now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it's best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. I think we need to remember that this is not the Holy Spirit apart from Jesus. This is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ in us, his Spirit, right? And so when he speaks, he's speaking the words of Jesus to us. He says, it's better that he goes away so that the advocate can come. You know, it's interesting to kind of daydream a bit and think, wouldn't it be interesting to have been with one of Jesus' disciples? To wander the countryside with him, to be there when he fed the 5,000, or when he healed some of the sick, or raised that one from the dead, or when he taught in parables, and to be part of that crowd, and to just be with him, to spend your days with him. And he's saying, you know, it's better for you that you don't have me, but you have the Holy Spirit present. And part of it is he was present in one place as a man. The Holy Spirit is present wherever his followers, wherever God's followers are. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to tell us things. How will he do that? It doesn't tell us here specifically in this section. The rest of Scripture gives us many other ways of how he might speak to us. But here's a few things. He makes Scripture clear and relevant to us and our needs. So when you're reading Scripture, when you have the Holy Spirit, he will reveal things to you that others might just read and say, oh, okay, interesting. But you might say, wow, that just spoke to me directly this morning. It could be that as you're reading, there's something that's an application that you realize, this is my application. I don't know what the story necessarily may be about, but I know what I need to do in response. It may be that there's certain impressions that he puts on our minds, that he imprints or impresses us with certain things. Maybe what some of those where you may have experienced, well, go call somebody, right? Or pray for this person. And you realize later there was a situation where they needed that. Right? Well, so he's speaking and you're listening by responding, right? You're hearing and you're responding. Or maybe as you're praying and you realize that it's not just a time of me pouring out my heart, but listening to the Father, listening to Jesus, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Or those conversations, maybe you've had some of these. You had a conversation with someone and you hear their words and you think, that was from Jesus. That wasn't just their words. Not that long ago, I had a conversation with a friend and then just had a conversation, said some things, and later on, saw him again, and he said, you know, something you said just stuck with me because there was something that God used. Maybe sometimes as people say something to us and we think, that was from God. Right? So God speaks to us in a number of different ways. We need to listen and respond. Okay, one more thing from the story of Samuel. There's a section where Eli actually, I think, gives some good advice and says to Samuel, just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Maybe for some of us, that needs to be our response or our introduction as we go into prayer time, our hello as we talk with Jesus. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Over the next few weeks, we're going to take some more time to talk about how God speaks. We'll look at scriptures and we'll pray together. A couple of weeks ago, I explained that we are going to go through six phases in this transitional process as we prepare for a new pastor to come and for us to be in a place to receive a new pastor. And as we work our way through this process, we want to hear from God. Even as Nick said earlier, we're not trying to be creative on our own. Now, God gives us creative abilities and gives us wisdom, but it's not about how good I am in this process or you are or how wise we are, but it's about what Jesus is saying to us. And so we want to listen and hear. We want to know, is there some adjustment of the vision needed? Is there some way that we need to correct certain things that are happening? Is there some things that you just want to affirm, this is exactly, you're going in the right direction? We want to hear together. To have the Holy Spirit reveal God's truth to us and his direction for the church. He may do some redirecting, some reaffirming. But in all of it, we're looking for ways to do what we do with purpose because we know that God has been guiding us as a church. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to focus on. This is the mission field you have. And we want to do this listening together, to pay attention, to have conversations with Jesus. And so I hope and pray that over the next while, we will have times of that. As we meet together, we'll have some meetings together, we'll have some time to do a survey together, and as you are responding, that we together hear from God. This morning, as we think of listening, I want to take some time for us to pray. I'm going to give you two questions. You can choose one or the other. Actually, I invite you to stand or prepare yourself, prepare whichever way you want to pray. Stand, kneel, raise your hands, whichever way. But I want you just be preparing yourself to pray. So let's do that. And then these are the two questions. Maybe like Eli, maybe we've tuned God out. So maybe you need to ask God. Here's a question. God, where have I tuned you out? Is there something I've not been listening to you about and not obeying you in? Or, if you don't want to ask that question, you can just ask, God, what do you think of me? Okay? One question or the other. They're both. You choose your question. Let's pray. If you feel like you're hearing something but not quite sure, just ask God to clarify it. And when you hear, why not thank Him? Tell Him how you're going to respond. God, we thank you so much for a relationship with you, that you want a relationship with us, that you want to talk with us, that we can hear you. Father, we want to hear from you in whichever way you choose to communicate to us, to hear your voice, to recognize when you're speaking. I pray for each one here that you would help them to hear clearly. God, you know, sometimes we wonder, is that just me? Did I just make that up? Was that something from you or from me? And help us to know how to let go of our own thoughts and just receive what you're saying to us. Thank you, God, for your willingness to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you some homework. I'm not going to check up on it or mark it, but I want you to take some time to be silent before God and do some praying. And let me just explain just a bit. In the Hearing God course that Lynette and I were able to take a couple of times, I remember this one question that came as part of a response in that session, and it was this. Ask God, what question would you like me to ask you? Ask God, what question would you like me to ask you? And then write that down, and then start, what is God saying to you? What does He want to do? I thought I'd show you a little bit from one of my conversations some time ago. Just in case some of you are thinking, I don't even know what you're talking about. Okay? So, here's a bit from my journal, my prayer journal. A means Andy, G means God, okay? We're having a conversation. And this was in a period of time where I was doing some part-time school bus driving. I didn't know what was next. I had sent out all kinds of resumes. I was convinced God wanted me to be a pastor, but I didn't know. And so here, I wrote down, God, what do you want me to ask you? And I felt like God said, ask me about your employment. Okay, what about my employment? Ask me if you're done being a pastor. So God, am I done being a pastor? No, it just felt like an emphatic no. No? No, I still have great plans for you. Well, why am I not seeing that? I felt like God was saying timing. Well, what about timing? That's a fun one, right? Wait, time. I'm still setting things up. Really, how do I know this is not just my wishful thinking? Because it's not. How do I know? Well, you will know. All will be revealed. When? Soon? And again, just wait. Well, what do we do now? And I felt like He said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Okay. Well, there's some scriptural stuff there, right? Your conversation with God may be very different than that, but maybe that for some of you might be helpful. So I began doing what was next. There was a person in the church that we've been part of that had a driving school, and so he got me going on a class one, and so I thought I'll do some driving, and we went, did some connecting with some friends who needed somebody to drive for them, but then it came to Alberta. This was in BC, and now they wouldn't transfer over. And so anyway, I couldn't get my class one to keep it in BC, but ended up, through that, getting a job driving for Willie's Trucking, driving a body job. That's what I did for 2 years. I wanted to be a pastor. I was convinced God had called me to be a pastor. I wasn't sure what was next, and so I was driving truck, hauling boxes and pallets and all kinds of weird things around, waiting for God. Maybe some of us, some of you are in that situation where you're doing a little waiting on God. And it's time to just sit back and listen. And wait. And listen. Maybe this week you want to take some time, 10 or 15 minutes somewhere, maybe longer. And just say, God, I want to have a conversation here. Maybe for me it helps to write things down. To write something down. But the whole part of this is make sure you're listening. Make sure you're listening. Don't just... I think some of us are very, very good at reading the Bible. We read it faithfully. And then we close it up and go on with our day without even thinking about what we read. But maybe it's time to listen a bit. Slow down, listen to what God is saying, and ask Him to speak to you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make Him known.